page 640, section 2, Politics in Georgia Since 1970. As you read, look for the first Georgian elected president, the first Republican governor since Reconstruction, the rise of the two-party system, term, grassroots campaign. Although Democrats continue to win statewide offices, since 1970, Georgia has had two organized political parties. As the period progressed, the Republican Party grew as voters began to shift. Increasingly, white conservative voters began to shift from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party. New Republicans moved into the state. Most upper and middle class whites became Republicans. By that time, rural and working class white Southerners were losing the dislike they had for Republicans that dated all the way back to the Civil War and Reconstruction. African Americans, for the most part, remained loyal Democrats, as did white liberals and some moderates. The voting shift was clearer in national elections in the early years, where Republican presidential candidates could, but not always did, win the state's electoral votes. Although Georgia continued to elect Democrats to Congress, they tended to be conservative Democrats who often voted against many of the bills that the National Democratic Party supported. Democrats also controlled the state legislature in the 1970s and 1980s. By the 1980s and 1990s, however, the number of Republicans in the state legislature grew as old Democrats switched parties, some even while they were in office. Voting districts drawn in the late 1900s and early 2000s almost guaranteed that Republicans would have an edge in some areas, while in others, Democrats would. Republicans began to win the statewide elections, although a few state offices did remain Democratic. As the population began to change in the 21st century, the votes of new groups to Georgia, including immigrants from Mexico and Central American countries, became more important. Jimmy Carter. In 1970, state leaders wanted to improve Georgia's national image with a different kind of leader who would seem more progressive. In 1970, the race for governor was once again in the Democratic primary. Former governor Carl Sanders came back into politics. His opponent was a former state senator from southwest Georgia named Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter grew up during the Depression in the small town of Plains. A graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy with a degree in engineering, Carter served on one of the early nuclear submarines and seemed destined for a successful Navy career. He returned home, however, after the death of his father in 1953 to take over the family's peanut business. In the state Senate, Carter became a civic leader in his area of southwest Georgia before being elected to the state Senate, where he served 2 two-year terms. In the state Senate, while Carl Sanders was governor, Carter usually supported Sanders' ideas. He was interested in educational improvement and served as chair of the Committee on Education. He was also concerned about the problems of the poor. Carter tried to be informed about the bills being considered and was the only member of the legislature to actually read every bill. While that did not win him much respect from his fellow senators, the public saw him as an effective senator. As governor, in 1966, Carter came in third in the Democratic primary for governor behind Ellis Arnold and Lester Maddox. After that loss, he began campaigning for 1970. Carter's determination to win led to an ugly campaign in which he courted the vote of segregationists. He defeated his Democratic opponents and the Republican candidate to become governor. During his campaign, he projected himself as the traditional common man from rural Georgia. He shocked both supporters and opponents in his inaugural address when he called for an end to racial discrimination. During his administration, Carter appointed more African Americans and women to state government and other boards than all the governors before him. He had the portraits of 3 African Americans put up in the state capitol as a symbol of his commitment to ending racial prejudice. He also undertook a major reorganization of state government, making it more modern and much more efficient. To end duplication of activities and services, he streamlined the departments of the executive branch of state government, reducing the number from around 300 to 22. He was interested in education, preservation of both natural and historic resources, and reforms in mental health, a cause his wife, Rosalind, championed. Not everyone supported Carter's efforts, and his term was full of conflict with Lieutenant Governor Lester Maddox and with many in the legislature. As president, after serving his term, Carter was not eligible for re-election. He began his campaign for the U.S. presidency. During Carter's governorship, President Richard Nixon and his aides were caught in a web of deceit and illegal activity that became known as the Watergate scandal. In 1974, Nixon was forced to resign. The public was shocked and disillusioned. The Democrats, including Carter, knew that the Republicans were out of favor because of the activities of Nixon's administration. Carter realized that what the public most wanted was a government it could trust again. When Carter announced that he was going to run for the presidency, many people did not take it very seriously. When he told his mother of his plans to run for president, she said, "Of what?" Most of the country did not know who Carter was. But Carter ran a grassroots campaign, meaning he traveled all over the country for 2 years, meeting and talking directly to ordinary people in small towns and big cities. He talked about moral values and trust, and he began to win state Democratic presidential primaries. When the Democratic convention was held in the summer of 1976, he won the nomination on the first ballot. In a very close election, Carter defeated his Republican opponent, President Gerald Ford. While his administration started well, Carter had some difficult problems to solve. The economy had been in trouble for several years with two major problems, high inflation and high unemployment. An energy crisis had begun in 1973 when Arab oil-producing countries in the Middle East stopped selling oil to the United States as a punishment for U.S. support of Israel. Then, in 1979, Islamic militants in Iran took the Americans at the U.S. Embassy in Tehran as hostages. Carter spent the next year trying to get them home. Carter did have several accomplishments. As he had in Georgia, Carter appointed women, African Americans, and other minorities to government positions. He worked for environmental policies. He also created two new departments in the executive branch, the Department of Energy and the Department of Education. In foreign policy, Carter became a strong advocate for human rights and for international peace. One of the accomplishments for which Carter became best known would be an omen of some of his important work after his presidency, peacemaking. In 1979, Carter was able to work out the Camp David Accords, a peace agreement between Egypt and Israel. In 1980, however, he was not popular because he had not been effective in solving many of the country's problems. His policies to get inflation under control cost people jobs, most of them workers who normally would have voted for a Democrat. As an outsider, he had not been able to tap into the Washington networks very well. He was able to get the Democratic presidential nomination, but his Republican opponent, Ronald Reagan, handed him a major defeat. Georgia was the only state in the South and one of the few in the nation whose electoral votes went to Carter. This Reagan revolution sped up the shift of the South to a majority Republican region. After the presidency, Jimmy Carter was in his 50s when he returned to Georgia, convinced that his life was meant to be of service to others. Over the next 30 years, he wrote over a dozen books. Some were memoirs, and some were books on international affairs. His book, Our Endangered Values, America's Moral Crisis, which came out in 2005, was a New York Times bestseller. With his wife, Rosalind, he founded the Carter Center in Atlanta. The Carter Center supports research on global issues and their impact on people. It also does work around the world promoting democracy, human rights, and peace. Carter himself has monitored elections in countries all over the world and has worked to find peaceful solutions to conflict. The center's slogan is, Waging Peace, Fighting Disease, Building Hope. In the 21st century, the Carters have worked to bring an end to diseases such as Guinea worm that have been the cause of great suffering and tragedy in many developing nations. Through their own example, the Carters also brought attention to a Georgia charity named Habitat for Humanity, which was founded by Carter's friend, Millard Fuller. In 2002, Carter became the second native Georgian to win the Nobel Peace Prize. Republicans and Democrats. Georgia's electoral vote went to Carter in the 1976 and 1980 elections. Since then, Georgia's electoral votes have gone to Republicans in every election except the first election of Bill Clinton in 1992. On national issues, the majority of Georgians supported the strong conservatism represented by the Republican Party platforms of the last three decades. However, Georgians did not always vote a straight ticket, voting for the candidates of only one party. At the same time Georgians were helping to elect a Republican president, they were voting to send Democrats to the U.S. Senate and the governor's office. The first Republican senator from Georgia since Reconstruction was not elected until 1992 when Paul Coverdell of Atlanta won in a very close race. The other Senate seat was held by a Democrat until 2002. Control of seats in the U.S. House of Representatives depended on what type of people lived in the voting districts. It was also affected by how those districts were reapportioned by the state legislature following the censuses. Cities were more likely to elect Democrats, while the suburbs were more likely to elect Republicans. Both Democrats and Republicans represented Georgia in the U.S. House in the early 21st century. Georgia continued to elect Democratic governors until 2002, when Sonny Perdue of Houston County became the first Republican governor since Reconstruction. Perdue's political career is a good example of the trend of Georgia politics. Perdue's state political career began in 1990 when he was elected to the state Senate. At that time, he was a Democrat. He changed parties in 1998 and continued to serve in the state Senate as a Republican. He then ran for governor as a Republican. Many white Democrats of Perdue's age and older had similar stories. At the end of this period, Georgia was a two-party state, although the Republican Party was more dominant. Each party had representatives in statewide offices in the U.S. House of Representatives and in both chambers of the Georgia General Assembly. As the population continues to change, especially with citizens of Hispanic heritage moving to the state, the direction of politics as the 21st century progresses remains unknown. Reviewing the section, 1. Define grassroots campaign. 2. Who was the first Republican elected governor in Georgia since Reconstruction? 3. What factors led to Georgia becoming a two-party state? Page 645, Georgia Portraits. Georgia House Speaker Tom Murphy. For over two decades, one of the most powerful politicians in the state of Georgia was House Speaker Thomas Bailey Murphy of Bremen in Harrelson County. Serving for 28 years in the position, he became the longest-serving state House Speaker in the country. During that time, five different men served as governors. Born in 1924, Tom Murphy grew up during the Great Depression. His father, a railroad worker and Primitive Baptist minister, was a supporter of the New Deal. After graduating from North Georgia College in Dahlonega, the young Murphy entered the U.S. Navy in 1943, serving in the South Pacific as a CB. After the war, he attended law school at the University of Georgia and, in the 1950s, practiced law in his hometown of Bremen. He also served on the local Board of Education before his election to the Georgia House in 1960. Murphy served for a time as the floor leader, the House member who introduces legislation the governor supports, and as the Speaker pro tem. When House Speaker George Smith died in 1973, Murphy moved up to the Speaker's position. He was reelected to the position for almost three decades. Murphy took the Speaker's position in a new direction, making it far more independent of the governor than it had been. He became an extremely powerful voice in state politics. Legislation could pass or fail depending on his support. Although Murphy was from a rural district, he realized the importance of Atlanta for the state and supported causes that made Atlanta stronger and gave it economic power in the South. That included buildings such as the World Congress Center and transportation improvements such as an expanded airport. Murphy was a lifelong Democrat. By the early 21st century, his position became less secure as the Republican Party grew throughout the state. He had barely won re-election in 2001. In 2003, he was defeated by his Republican opponent. 2 years later, the Republican Party gained a majority in the Georgia House, and a Republican became the Speaker of the House. By that time, Murphy was practicing law in his hometown. He died in 2007. On his birthday in 2010, the Georgia House honored him by hanging his portrait in the Capitol building outside the House chamber. Page 646, Chapter Review. Chapter Summary, Section 1, Post-War Politics. During and after World War II, Georgia had influential members in Congress: Carl Vinson in the House of Representatives, Walter George, Herman Talmadge, and Richard B. Russell in the Senate. The 1946 Three Governors controversy occurred when Eugene Talmadge was elected governor but died before being sworn in. Ellis Arnold said he was still governor. Herman Talmadge, Eugene's son, claimed to be governor as a write-in. However, the courts declared Lieutenant Governor Melvin Thompson governor. The white-only primary ended in 1946 and led to the registration of thousands of black voters in the next few years. The Talmadge faction controlled the governor's office and state legislature until the 1960s. In 1963, the U.S. Supreme Court decision in Gray v. Sanders declared the county unit system unconstitutional. In 1963, Georgia was required to reapportion voting districts for both the state legislature and the districts for electing representatives to the U.S. House of Representatives. In this and other cases, the U.S. Supreme Court used the one-person, one-vote principle. In the Democratic primary runoff in 1967, Lester Maddox defeated Ellis Arnold for the governor's nomination. Republican Howard Beau Calloway won the popular vote, but the legislature chose Maddox as governor. Section 2, Politics in Georgia Since 1970. After losing the Democratic primary for governor in 1966, Jimmy Carter was elected governor in 1970. During his administration, Carter called for an end to racial discrimination and appointed more African Americans and women to state government and other boards than all the governors before him. He also reorganized state government, making it more modern and much more efficient. In 1976, Carter ran a successful grassroots campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination. Jimmy Carter was the first Georgian to become President of the United States, defeating Gerald Ford. Carter appointed minorities to government positions and created the Departments of Energy and Education. He worked for environmental policies and was a strong advocate for human rights and international peace. He also brokered the Camp David Accords, a peace agreement between Egypt and Israel. When he lost the presidency in 1970 to Ronald Reagan, Carter returned to Georgia to work on the issues of peace, human rights, and the environment. In 1992, Paul Coverdell became the first Republican senator from Georgia since Reconstruction. In 2002, Sonny Perdue became the first Republican governor since Reconstruction. Today, Georgia is a two-party state. Page 647 contains a review of Chapter 25.